Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again in the middle of the mitten, pure Michigan, born in the D, in a beautiful green field, nutrients everywhere. Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle. What a beautiful day. We're going to have a huge show. It's great to see you again.
It has been fantastic all this week. This week has just been our last gasp at summer. It's been fantastic. You know how green it is? Have you seen how green it's gotten?
Look at
around?
This field.
It's the middle of September and it's still green. What
unreal. And you know what? You know why you are lucky?
Why am I lucky?
Because I love you, bro.
I love you too.
And when we don't do the show, I miss you because we have so much fun.
Okay.
I get to tune in every day and I still get to be part of your world on your show.
True.
You only get to be with me 1 hour or so a week.
We got to work on that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's go to the friend of the court and get a mutual court order with equal visitation for each other.
Figure out a way to get you a daily radio show. That's all I was thinking.
Okay.
So I'd be able to listen to you and be a part of your world.
If the listeners want to hear Todd L. Levitt, you know, jamming and tuning and burning and churning on any of the Black Diamond sister stations, just call and let them know you want me on the radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Todd's Rock Block featuring Craig Russell. Craig, let's get to it.
Is this possibly the biggest show we've ever had? Possibly?
Almost as big as the Little John show.
I know.
No, Little John is the king.
Yeah, but still.
This show is going to be huge. We have in studio a special guest who will be appearing on a regular basis over the course of the next year or years to come.
Okay.
Who is she?
Her name is Sarah Barber, and she is from Canabon Therapeutics. She'll explain what that's all about in a little bit.
And wait till you hear, again, Canabon Therapeutics.
Yep.
Folks, stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Wait till you hear her background and what she is doing. She has a plethora of information. Also, we have a huge story on Lara and the Medical Marijuana Licensing Board regarding existing dispensaries, facilities, licensing fees, and dispensaries shutting down right now prior to the December 15th application date. Huge information on that.
This is a big deal. This is a big deal.
Huge. There is one dispenser in Detroit that voluntarily was one of the first to shut down. We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
We have some information regarding selling and or furnishing alcoholic beverages to minors. Got a question from a listener this week.
That's not good.
Not good. No, not good at all.
No.
And we have an announcement for the Village of Farwell. They have a big Halloween to-do coming up in October 28, 2017 from 2 to 4. We're going to have an announcement about that. But
first, we got to jam to the jam.
Oh,
Paul Weller,
the jam.
Ba-ba-ba-da-ba-da-da.
Look, Deputy Drury up in Clare.
Okay.
Loves our singing. So if we sing during a show, it goes to Deputy Drury.
Wait, I thought it was the Clare deputies who said they would throw us in jail if we kept singing.
Or at least take us to Cops and Donuts and feed us too much.
Well, hopefully.
Hey, we are a law show. I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt. We come to you each and every Sunday morning from
98.5 UPS and also Rock 105 and Rock 95.5 out of Traverse City. We just rock.
And podcasting, folks, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We really appreciate the subscriptions. Podbean, SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, we're all over the place.
The FM radio.
FM radio. Radio FM.
Radio FM.
I have a complaint.
Really?
Before we get to law,
get out of here.
I have a major complaint.
I can't believe
it. I have two of them.
It's our lucky day. There's two.
The first.
Okay.
And everybody out there, I guarantee, can relate to this.
Okay.
Last week, once again, I'm with somebody out and about.
Okay.
I'm just out and about.
Having a good time. Minding your own business.
We go to an eating establishment at lunchtime.
Okay.
I order a club sub. I'm not going to name the shop, but a club, a sandwich, a sub.
A club, okay.
A 12-inch, okay. Cut in half, 6 inches.
So it's a sub shop.
Right.
Kind of out of the way, maybe.
I'm just saying, in the sub way, shop. Maybe?
A sub shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
I take half of it back to the office to put in the refrigerator.
Sure.
For a later date.
All right.
I'm with somebody, and I said, and I was going to treat this individual. I said, listen, are you hungry? The person said no.
Okay.
Said, okay. Are you sure? Because I'm going to treat you.
I know where this is okay. going.
I've talked about this before. I said, listen, with all due respect, I'm starving, and I want to eat. So I order my food. We sit down. And this individual got a soda. It's not pop anymore. I'm in my 50s. I call it a soda.
What?
My sandwich.
That's a Michigan thing, man.
It's also
Michigan.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, the Midwest.
Midwest. The food comes to my table.
Okay.
This family member of mine says, oh, can I just please have a bite? I knew it was coming. Biggest pet peeve. I already said to this person, look, I'll buy you something knowing this mm-hmm. person wanted a bite. Mm-hmm. I'll never go to lunch with this person again. And it was not my sister, by the way. Love my sister, Lori. Hello, Lori, Larry, everybody up there. I hand this person my sandwich, but I'm holding on to it. I don't want their hands on it because they didn't wash them, and I'm a little neurotic, right?
Little?
This person took a third of a bite of my sandwich. That is just so rude. It's just not right. If somebody offers you a sample, would you like to try this? You don't take a monster WWE bite, Monday Night Football, out of my sandwich. That is just pure rudeness, and I'm not happy about it. And this relative listens to the show. I'm just not happy about it. And it's a her. She knows who she is.
There's a way to get around that.
Don't do it. Don't let them have it.
I used to date a girl, and she would always eat my French fries.
But that's okay.
Or I always eat the French fries. So I would now.
Fries do lead to other things.
So
I watch Ellen. I know what I'm talking about.
Okay. I'm just saying. So what I used to do is I would order two orders of fries because I'm smart like that. You should have ordered a third 6-inch sub, you know, at that way place.
I was so upset. You know what I did?
What'd you
do? I took the hat, the 6-inch club sub. I put it in front of her and I said, you know what? This is yours. And I took the other one out and ate it. And on the way back to the office where my relative's car was parked, I just was not happy about it. So that's my complaint. And I think everybody can relate to that. It's like back in the college days, you go to McDonald's or one of these fast food places. You come back, and before you left, you said to everybody, look, I'm going to get food. Does anybody want any? Because when I get back, you're not sticking your greasy hands in my bag of fries. So it's like back in the college days, you'd come back. What did all your buddies do?
They'd stick their hands.
Yeah, because they would all jump on you. You didn't have a choice. Look, another complaint. I love Game of Thrones.
Wow, you are on fire.
I know, we're a law show.
You're on fire.
We're a law show. We're going to get to tons of law syrup. Yes. Barbara's coming on the show. We're going to talk about Lara, marijuana, cannabis, everything. Game of Thrones, one of my favorite shows.
Okay.
I'm now finding throughout my daily travels that mothers and fathers who are also fans of the show are starting to name their kids after characters on the show.
Yeah. Yep.
The point is, some of the names I've heard, I don't even know these characters. You've had to read the books.
Right.
And you got to think about it, parents, that, okay, the show might be popular now, but think about your child 10, 15 years from now. Am I right?
When that child is getting the crap beat out of him in school because his name is Percy or something like that. You know? Yeah.
No, I'm being totally serious.
I know you are.
Okay.
I know
and
you
Sarah
are.
Is a lady, so we're going to ask her opinion on that coming up in the next break. But hey, before we go to break, Craig,
okay.
We talk a lot about students.
Yes.
We're in a college town.
Right now.
The worst thing a student can do is get a pet while they're in college.
I would agree with that.
It's like raising a child.
Uh-huh.
And then they get ready to graduate. They move out of state. And then where does the pet go? They have parties, people. There's things a pet should not be around. If you're a student or have a student, do not allow your student to obtain a pet.
One of two things happens. Either that student who has the pet starts dating another student, the pet then becomes their combined, and then they break up. And then who gets the pet? Or they bring the pet home, and then all of a sudden, the parents now have a pet that they didn't think they were going to have. For 10 years, they didn't know. Next thing you know, they've got a 15-year-old cat at their house because the student had the cat and then graduated and took a job in New York, and now the cat's back at their house.
Yep.
And I'm assuming you have now an extra pet at your house. Is that something I'm...
No, that is not the case. It's just as I drive around Michigan State, you know, Northwood, CMU, you know, Ferris, as I represent students, I see students with pets. And it's just upsetting to me because over the years, I have been privy to information that exactly what you said. They break up, who gets the pet? They graduate, who gets the pet? Let's talk some law before we go to break.
Well, I'm going to say one thing. You remember Fitz?
Yeah.
Remember Fitz?
She was on a show one time. Yeah.
She wants me to get a dog. She wants me to get a dog.
I cannot get a dog.
I don't want to get a dog. I mean, I like dogs.
No.
But I don't, I'm gone a lot.
You're never home.
It wouldn't be fair to the dog. She's like, oh, I'll watch the dog for you. I'll watch the dog. I'm like, well, that's great and all. You can say that, but you never know. And then she's like, why don't you get a cat? And I'm like, I don't know.
No. Get fish. I'm going to get you some fish.
I'm not going to get a fish.
All right. I have fish.
I'm not getting.
Want to know the name of my fish?
Sure.
Not telling
you. Yeah, I didn't think so.
Hey, before we go to break.
Okay.
But don't get a dog. I love dogs, but you're never home and you can't. I don't leave my dogs alone for more than 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, it wouldn't be good. Not fair.
Selling or furnishing alcoholic liquor to minors.
Bad idea.
Yeah. So you would think, though, if there's a college party and there's students of all ages there, 21, 22, 18, 19, 20, everybody knows there's drinking going on.
Sure.
You're the tenant. The police show up.
It's your house.
Your house. You're going to get a ticket for hosting a nuisance party, 90-day misdemeanor.
Okay.
And then they look around and they approach a young man or woman, ask them their age, and they say, oh, I'm 19. That person gets an MIP. The question is, can the tenant receive a ticket, a misdemeanor, for furnishing alcoholic liquor to minors under those circumstances?
Sure.
Now, I didn't say that the 21-year-old who lives there provided liquor to the minor. I just said there was somebody at that party who was under 21 that possessed liquor. What's the answer to that?
I would say for sure.
Why?
Because it's your house and you're responsible for the people in your house. And if you are furnishing liquor to even people over 21, if they're under 21, you can't. It's a bad idea.
I didn't tell you that this 21-year-old furnished any liquor to the underage person.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, so here's what the law says.
Okay.
You could be charged with selling or furnishing alcoholic liquor to minors if you fail to make a diligent inquiry as to whether there is a person in your presence in your house or apartment that is a minor. So you could be found guilty of a misdemeanor. So you don't actually have to sell it, but you have to make diligent inquiry. Therefore, if there's a 21-year-old having a party and all these people show up and there's people drinking, the law says you have to go around an entire house or apartment and ask people, how old are you? How old are you? So if the police show up and they determine that there is someone under 21 there, you're going to be given a misdemeanor. And you're going to say, well, wait a minute. I didn't know she was under 21. No. The law says otherwise.
So the law says you're responsible for it.
Yeah.
You're the one who's going to make sure.
Plus, here's another thing, folks. Why would you, and this is really dangerous. Students don't know this. I didn't know when I was a student. Why would you want anyone coming over to your house that's under 21, let alone drink, and then leave that place, get behind the wheel, or otherwise go to another establishment, then get behind the wheel. They could trace it all the way back to you, and then it's a cluster.
You're walking up to the ticket office, and you're saying, can I have a ticket for trouble, please? You're asking for trouble.
Asking for trouble?
Can I tell you a personal story?
Between the three of us, go ahead.
All right, so when I was a kid, had a party at my house. My parents were out of town for the weekend. It's typical, like every teenage movie from the 80s ever came up with. So I had a party at the house. I didn't drink, and I had older people there who were the ones who bought the alcohol and had older people who were also working as like bouncers at the door and stuff like that. I made like $300 on this party. It was great. The cops got tipped off to it. They came up to the door, and they said, all right, here's the deal. You've got a half an hour. Anybody in this house who's underage, who's drinking, get them out. If we come back in a half an hour, if there's anybody in the house who's drinking who's underage, you and them are going downtown. And I'm like, 5 minutes, everyone was gone. But that's the story. I mean, there's the thing. You're responsible for the people in your house. Doesn't matter how old they are. If liquor is involved, it's a blanket thing. You're responsible for it.
Well, I know another thing you should not do.
What's that?
Sell alcohol or liquor. Talk about getting in major, major trouble, folks. You think the liquor companies or the beer companies want to sell you beverages and then have you turn around and go sell cups in your apartment or house? No. But hey, Craig, we're a law show. I'm attorney Todd L. Levin. And who are you?
I'm Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle.
Sarah Barber from Canabon Therapeutics is coming on the show during the next segment. She's in studio. She's ready to go. We got to get a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back once again strong with one of my favorite performers, Paul Weller of The Jam. And Paul Weller is still around. If you go on YouTube, he's one of the most prolific songwriters, performers.
Electronic music. He does a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Love the jam. Hey.
That was a big 80s Detroit band. I'm sure. I know. That's why you know that. Jam. Big 80s Detroit band. 96.3 back in the day. Oh, yeah.
Love it. Hey, Sarah Barber's in studio. Let's bring Sarah to the show. And we want to talk to Sarah and get her opinion on Lara and the Medical Marijuana Board putting out notices that dispensaries have to start winding down. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So we'll talk a little bit about your company in a second here. But what Todd was talking about Lara, about how they are now starting to wind down dispensaries. I guess maybe, Todd, you should maybe give an overview of the story. Todd, tell us a little bit. What is Lara about right now?
We've talked about Lara on the show. Everybody, and most of the listeners know who Lara is. It's the Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs through the state of Michigan. The Medical Marijuana Licensing Board is under Lara's umbrella, the five-member board. This past week, September 12th, at a meeting, it was discussed and put forth by the board that dispensaries throughout the state of Michigan have to start winding down their businesses. They have to wind down by December 15th, 2017. There's a lot of confusion out there that, oh, no, dispensaries have to close right now. They have to close their doors. Well, yes and no. Beginning December 15th of 2017, individuals, corporations can start to apply for one of those five covenant licenses. The board wants everybody to comply, meaning some of these dispensaries may or may not be eligible under the new licensing act. So they're giving them till that date to shut down, so that their current patients have time to find proper caregivers. So that's what's going on. They don't have to shut tomorrow, but they have to show good faith and start to shut down and wind themselves down by the December 15th date. In Detroit, it was in the Detroit News. I'm just quoting Detroit News. A huge dispensary shut down. I won't even say the name just in case I'm wrong.
Right.
But they were one of the first to voluntarily shut themselves down to show the board that they're following the rules and laws, because the 2008 Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, depending on how you interpret it, does not allow for dispensaries. Therefore, the board, which is following the rule of law, is saying you need to start winding down.
Because that's the whole idea. The idea is they're going to, after the December 15th, they're going to start accepting applications. And then when these dispensaries, if they follow the law of the land, are able to reopen, they will be then legal entities. That's correct, right?
Yeah, and I agree. I think if the state wants to start with the new licensing with a clear slate, then everyone should start at the same point. There shouldn't be any dispensaries that get a head start in the game or with the licensings. I think that's the best way for the state to go. I think as a business owner, it would be difficult when you put so much into it and you have to close your doors, but it would be the fairest thing for all the dispensaries.
And they're probably, obviously, this is probably going to weed out some of the riffraff if there's dispensaries who aren't trying to abide by the law, or if you've got dispensaries that maybe run by questionable people.
Yeah,
this is going to really, how do you want to put it? This is really going to push it more under the first step of marijuana becoming recreational in Michigan in 2018. I mean, this is, Todd's a big advocate of that. He thinks that that is going to happen. And if you start to clean it up, then you start to get run by the law, then it's going to be better for everybody.
Well, and that's really important too, with dealing with the stigmas that society has on cannabis.
Yep.
Especially with the older populations too. And there's so many benefits for the elderly, for the cannabis use. So having dispensaries that are professional and clean and, you know, up to a certain set of standards, you're going to have more people that are willing to learn about cannabis or willing to try it for their therapy.
Yeah, and we're talking to Sarah Barber from Cannabon Therapeutics, and we're going to learn more about Sarah, who she is, and Cannabon Therapeutics. The one thing I would say, I'm somewhat unhappy about this decision, because there's a lot of patients out there who need their medicine, and they are elderly. They don't have the contacts to locate a caregiver. They just don't know where to go, and they've always depended upon these dispensaries. I do understand the state wants to follow the laws under the 2008, Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, and they want to even the playing field. I agree with Sarah on that. But I'm really concerned about the patients out there because we care about the people. And you're correct, Craig. Some of these dispensaries, I can't speak for every dispensary.
Sure.
Most of the dispensaries owners that I know are good men and women, good family people. They just care with a capital C. So I'm not privy to anyone doing anything outside the law right now, other than the argument about the 2008 law. Right. But they want to even the playing field. And so Lara, you know, made this decision with the Medical Marijuana Board this week. Actually, the Medical Marijuana Board, you know, is advised Lara, or, you know, the Medical Marijuana Board, you know, made this decision, and they actually had a resolution a couple weeks back relating to this. Also, folks, they're talking about right now that the application fee for dispensaries will be somewhere between $4,000 to $8,000 range, depending upon the number of applications, starting December 15th. Because starting December 15th of 2017, everybody can start to apply for those licenses as defined under the MMFLA. But so we'll talk about that more throughout the show. Let's talk about Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah Barber's in studio.
That's
and she's
right.
going to be a regular on the show. Sarah, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Okay, so I have been in the pharmaceutical industry for just about 7 years. In the last year, I have been developing my business, Cannabon Therapeutics. I started off basically with the idea that I know my qualities and I know that I want to help people. And being in the pharmaceutical industry, I've watched so many lives ruined due to drug addictions and dependencies, and I've met so many wonderful people, and just watching how prescription drugs kind of destroy their lives really hit home for me. It's hard to see people go through that. And so I wanted to start finding alternative therapies, something I could offer people that I knew that I would trust. And if I can trust in something, I can promote it to other people. So that's when I started researching cannabis, and I was just kind of blown away by everything that I didn't know about cannabis. I've never been a cannabis user myself, so I've kind of always had negative views about it, and my perspective has completely changed just learning about its therapeutic benefits.
And see, now that's a little bit what we were talking before. You were saying about how the stigma that's attached to cannabis and medical marijuana, how the, especially with possibly some of the elderly people who don't, you know, they're the kind of people who say, well, if it's the law, then it's illegal, then it has a negative connotation. If all of a sudden it's legal, well, then it's a different story. Then people, I think, open their minds up. Some of them, I don't want to say blindly just follow the law, but if you say something is now legal, they kind of give it a different view. And I think, you know, what you're saying about how I think some people would say, well, isn't marijuana a drug that I can get addicted to and stuff like that? It's different than opioids. It's different than the prescription drugs that you're talking about that, you know, that people who you would never even know have any kind of a drug problem. All of a sudden, these pills they get addicted to, narco and all these other things. You've seen that firsthand.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's awful. It's awful. Everyone, you know, you can build a stereotype about a drug addict, but really the reality is, it can happen to anyone. It can happen to anyone at any age, and it does every single day. And I mean, you watch the news, you see the devastation and the problem we as Americans are dealing with opiate abuse. So it is an ongoing problem, and it's getting worse. And the drug companies, they want that. They want the consumers, you know, and that's why they're fighting to keep cannabis legal as well, because cannabis really is the miracle drug. And there's just so many different areas, so many different illnesses and diseases and, you know, chronic pain that cannabis has been proven through. I mean, there's so many studies and there's so much information and evidence out there to prove that it truly is the miracle drug.
And you obviously, like you said, you all of a sudden you opened up your mind to it and you started studying it. Next thing you know, you're finding out about all this stuff. All people need to do is just kind of open their mind a little bit up to things.
Yeah.
Not be so closed-minded about stuff that they don't know about. That is a big part of this.
I'm tired of hearing that cannabis is a gateway drug. It's an exit drug, okay? Hear me out, folks. Cannabis is an exit drug, not a gateway drug. And the problem we talk about every week with the young kids is too much Xanax with Adderall mixing alcohol. That's what's killing our children. It's not the cannabis. It's the Adderall prescriptions. I mean, would you agree with this, Sarah? Can you talk about that? Hey, we have to go to break, correct?
Yeah, we should take a break.
Yeah, but when we'll come back. Sarah, I want to talk to you as someone who's been in the pharmaceutical business about that issue. We got to go to break right here on the Todd Levitt Law Show, or as Craig Russell calls me, Todd Rock Black. We'll be right back.
I do?
Absolutely. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, coming to you each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. if you're just tuning in for the first time on 98.5 WUPS, Rock 105, and 95.5 Traverse City, Sheboygan, Petoskey, podcasting all over Mother Earth.
Podbean and SoundCloud and Google Play and Radio FM and what's the one I'm forgetting? There's five of them. I'm forgetting one.
iTunes.
Yeah. I knew I was. Yeah. I always forget one.
And if you're just tuning in and you miss any portion of the show, be sure to catch us on podcast because we've had a huge show. Sarah Barber from Canabon Therapeutics is in studio.
Yes.
And we were talking about the first and second segment, Lara and the Medical Marijuana Licensing Board regarding closing existing dispensaries. They don't have to shut today. They have to start winding down by December 15th, 2017. And that date is the date that individuals, corporations start to apply under the new MMFLA for licensing. It gives patients adequate time, according to Lara, to establish connections to caregivers to help ensure continuity of access. Am I happy about it? No. Do I understand it? Yes. They want to even the playing field. But there's so many patients out there, and that's my concern. That was earlier in the show. We're not going to rehash it. Craig, let's get back to Sarah Barber. She has a lot of information to get to.
Well, and one of the things we were talking about with Sarah, you were talking about how marijuana isn't a gateway drug. It's an exit drug, and about Adderall and these kids who are getting all this, they're getting addicted to all these opioids and all these pills and everything. And then kids at college taking those and then drinking. You've seen some of this firsthand, some of the problems that this is, and expound about that a little bit.
Okay. So here's my take on ADHD. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm not saying that. I know there are some real cases. I personally know some real people who are very ADHD.
Todd being one of them. Just saying.
Hello. Have you ever listened to the show? Are you kidding me? I got the attention of a gnat. I'm very fragile. Do not mention Tommy Two Tone. It'll be all over with.
See, exactly.
Exactly. Now, he would be an example of unmedicated. We're just kidding around. But anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
So here's the thing. ADHD is like the new fad diet, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So in the 50s, 60s, we had depression. If you were depressed, that was an important thing to have. It was important to have depression. And everyone was prescribed Prozac. That was the big drug.
Right.
So now we have ADHD. If you have something, it's ADHD. You know, you go to the doctor for anything, you have ADHD. In one of my psychology courses, I actually went over the assessment that would qualify you for, you know, having ADHD or not. It would diagnose you. And I don't know one single person that would fail it. So anyone could have ADHD. You know, it's the new popular diagnosis. It's the answer for everything.
And of course, what's the answer for the problem? A pill.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do I think everyone has ADHD that's diagnosed with it? Absolutely not. I think it's way overdiagnosed. I think it's the quick answer. And as Americans, we look for the quickest solution to our problems and we want that immediate gratification. But on the other hand, we are prescribing our children, young children. I mean, I've seen children even at the age of 5 starting out on high doses of Adderall, Vyvanse, Ritalin, you name it. And their bodies become used to it. They become addicted to it. So then they have to switch and, you know, they can't function without it. We're training our children to be addicted to drugs. And that's just not the answer. And I don't believe it's the answer.
And of course, now we're not exactly saying you should be giving children cannabis, you know, because
absolutely not.
But there are certainly things, those kind of drugs. I mean, that's what people are getting addicted to. Who do you know is addicted to cannabis?
I have never met anyone addicted to cannabis.
Exactly. It's not that kind of a controlled substance. It just isn't. It just doesn't work out that
well. And going back to kind of what we were talking before I started educating myself on cannabis, I had such a negative view of it that I assumed everyone that smoked cannabis, you know, sat on the couch of their mother's basement and played video games their whole life, or sat around and watched TV, and they weren't living at all. Until I started finding out that people I interacted with all the time smoked. And I would, you know, I would know people for years. And before I found out they smoked cannabis, and I'm like, shocked. Like, really? You do? Like, but you do stuff.
Yeah. You're not just sitting there. You're not, you don't have a bag of chips there, and you're not wasting away the afternoon.
Yeah. So,
you know, there's nothing wrong with being on mom's couch in the basement playing video. I'm just kidding. You know what's really strange is I actually, somebody who I work with, I won't say this person's name, but we were talking about this person's mother, who is definitely in her 70s, and she has been using CBD drops, and she has been finding that it's helped her with fibromyalgia and with arthritis and things like that. She actually now can get up and walk, and that is some of the benefits of cannabis and CBD drops and things like that, that you would never suspect that this kindly 76-year-old woman is using that, because it is, it's just when you, especially the elderly, like I said before, that they don't, if it's not against the law, then that's when you start to be, gets there to take away that negative stigma when it is something, a legal product, quote unquote. And then you do research. And when you do research, that's when you can find out and make a decision for yourself about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to, and I encourage everyone to self-educate, to just research it. And, you know, there's so much information out there. All it's going to take is 20 minutes to convince you that that's the way to go. But for me personally, most of the patients I interact with are 65 and older. Those are the most medicated individuals. So obviously, and I view so many of them as like grandparents to me. You know, I build relationships with these people, and I hate seeing them suffer, and I hate seeing them take something for such a long period of time and get no relief, or they're back at square one, or they're still struggling. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I just want to like, just try cannabis, you know, but it's hard when there is such a stigma about it.
There is.
And we always want to state, if we ever recommend you try something, do it legally.
Yes.
Under the auspices of a medical doctor. Make sure you apply through LARA. Always do everything by the law. And that, we are a law show. I can't state that enough. We're talking with Sarah Barber, the founder of Cannabon Therapeutics. Cannabon Therapeutics, great company. And Sarah's done a great job with that. Sarah, tell the listeners a little bit about the company and the products that you provide that help so many people.
Right now, I've been working on this. This has kind of been my baby for the last year, on top of self-education, which there's so much out there, so much to learn. And that has been very exciting. But the development, I've enjoyed every aspect of developing these products. So I'm very proud of them. Right now we have CBD cream that is just great. I use it for headaches, any muscle pains. It's a topical cream, so my mother uses it. My whole family uses it. So I've kind of turned everyone in my family, close friends and stuff, onto it. But it's just great for, you know, any arthritis pains or muscle pains. There's research out there showing it being promising for MS and fibromyalgia. And then we have a beauty line, which is, that's the bigger part of the company right now. And eventually we're going to move into having more options available in the CBD. But right now, the beauty line is the biggest portion. So we have my favorite product, which is Hippie Lips. It's a lip balm, and we have 5 different flavors. So we have tangerine, cotton candy, watermelon, spearmint, and cherry. And we're just developing our lip tints. And I know you guys probably don't care so much, but...
But we know women who do. Come on. Yeah, just because exactly. I don't use a lip tint doesn't mean I wouldn't know somebody who would be interested in it, but okay. Yeah.
So it's all natural. It's hemp infused, and all of our beauty products are hemp infused, obviously. Hemp is actually great for the skin. And a lot of people don't know this, but hemp is actually rich in vitamin E and A, and it's also rich in omegas 3 and 6, which is really good for skin, to regenerate your skin and for your protective layer.
Okay.
But it also helps with varicose veins, psoriasis, eczema. So hemp oil in itself is great for the skin. What I have developed is 4 separate blends using essential oils so they can target different areas. So we have one for focus, a focus blend, and then we have detoxification blend, emotional balance blend, and then an energy and vitality blend. And those are targeted to using essential oils are targeted for those specific areas.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Sarah Barber from Cannabon Therapeutics.
And so what other products do you have that you're working on?
So we have a body butter, body lotions, and body scrubs. And we'll be expanding our beauty line as well here shortly. But any of the body lotions or body products you can get in any of the 4 blends, and they're wonderful. I love them.
I just want to say, in regards to being a guy and body lotions and blends and shampoo and conditioner, I mean, I have a lot of hair on my head, so I use not only a shampoo but a conditioner. But I think it's okay as a man to use body washes and some of the products that Sarah's referring to. Yep. I'm just saying, you don't have to be a woman. You can be a man, a masculine man like you and I, Craig, and use these products. I'm just saying, Sarah, if you take a look at my skin and my hands, there's no calluses there because I've used products, I'm just saying, my entire life. Palm olive, for one, to do dishes, and just a good butter soap. I believe in butter soap, but your products, I'm very familiar with Cannabon Therapeutics. Great company, great product line. So happy to have you on the show.
There's no like feminine perfumey smell to them.
Right.
We use the essential oils for targeted areas. You know, if you want to relax and, you know, detoxify, it's not like a perfumey feminine smell. You know, it's essential oils. So you have more of a fresh, natural sense. So yeah, they're great for guys. I know plenty of men that love the creams and lotions and hippie lips. I make all my guy friends use the hippie lips and they love it. So it's just lip balm.
Okay, so now that we know about some of the products that you have come up with, where can we get these? Where can we find these? Are you online? Can we find stuff there?
Okay, yeah. So you can, I have both a website, which is CannabonTherapeutics.com.
Okay.
And then we also have an Etsy site where you can get just the beauty supplies, no CBD items. They're not for that. But you can always get that on our personal website. And then we're also on Facebook and Instagram, and we're always posting fun pictures. And my girlfriend, she's wonderful, and we just play dress up and take pictures with the product. So we have fun with it.
And so, and is that something you do? Do you show like maybe a age progression of like you're using the cream and what it looks like today and then 30 days later and stuff like that? Do you have anything like that?
I don't actually, but that's funny. We were just talking about doing stuff.
See,
like
great minds think alike about that kind of stuff.
And we do. We want it to, when you see it, for it to, you know that a real person made it.
Right.
Like a real person had a part in every area of this. And we want to broadcast that. We want people to see. We want to build an actual relationship. And for me, it's going to e-commerce is so different. For me, it's so new, so different. But I still want to be able to build the exact same relationship with those consumers as I have with all the other consumers in real life that I've ever dealt with.
Sure, exactly. That's the difference with e-commerce. You're not going to probably meet all of the people who buy your products like you have in the past working in the pharmaceutical area, but you still want that same kind of relationship, and you
absolutely
still want them to realize that, hey, my name's Sarah, and I'm the person who made this product, and it's a good quality product because I'm not a big corporation. I'm Sarah, and I made it, and I care about you.
Yes, exactly. And that's what it boils down to, is we want to provide a great product that works great and is, we know, is made great, and we want to help people. I want to be able to help people.
So the website again is?
CannabonTherapeutics.com.
And where else can they find you?
On Facebook and on Instagram, and then we also have an Etsy site.
So if they search for you on Facebook or Instagram, it's CannaBon Therapeutics.
Yes.
Okay, make sure everyone knows where they can find you.
Yep, Cannabon. CannabonTherapeutics.com.
Say it again?
CannabonTherapeutics.com.
We have to go to break, but when we come back from break, we're going to continue talking with Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle, a.k.a. Todd L. Levitt, attorney at law, and our good friend Sarah Barber from Cannabon Therapeutics. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with A Town Called Malice. Paul Weller, The Jam, Craig, dating back. When did that come out?
Mid-80s, I thought it was. 84, 85, somewhere on there.
Big fan of Paul Weller, who's still out there just kicking it, turning it, and burning it. Google or YouTube Paul Weller. He's just a great musician.
He's still around. He's a guy you've never heard of before, but you know all his music. Yeah.
Hey, we're going to get back to Sarah in just a moment. I have an announcement real quick. The Village of Farwell, Michigan, October 28th, 2 to 4 p.m., is having a Halloween party at the Farwell Farmers Market at the corner of South Hall Street and Illinois Street. I love Farwell.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whenever I'm in Clare, I always make sure I stop off in Farwell and enjoy all their businesses. But they're having their Halloween party, and it's their third annual Ghost and Ghouls Halloween party. You can make donations. Just contact Tracy Lee at the Village of Farwell office Monday through Friday. I'm going to give out the number.
Okay.
989-588-9926. 989-588-9926. You can make a donation to the Village of Farwell for their Halloween party.
Maybe it'll feel like fall by then.
They wanted me to announce it. I love Farwell. I love small towns. And I'm always happy to promote small towns. If you or someone out there is part of a village or a township or a community, you want us to announce something on the show, get a hold of us, centralmichiganlawyer@gmail.com, centralmichiganlawyer@gmail.com. Back to the show, Craig Russell.
Well, one more thing about Farwell. We were just in Farwell this past week for our last bike night.
Great place.
At Bond's DJ's Lounge. Had a good time. So there we go. And the bike night finale is this week in Mount Pleasant.
Love bike night. There you go. Love bike night.
Right on. Absolutely. So we're back with talking with Sarah Barber from Cannabon Therapeutics. So we were talking about how you were in the pharmaceutical business, and now you are not in the pharmaceutical business, and now you are doing this business. This is it. This is your baby now. What happened to make you get into this full time and just throw caution to the wind and do this?
Well, I believe in the therapeutic benefits of cannabis and CBD. And there's just so much evidence out there that you can't argue it whatsoever. You just can't. Originally, I wanted to go into processing and obtaining a processing license. I've kind of backed away from this. I've fallen in love with the beauty products and the CBD products that we have. So I've kind of just really fed into that, and I kind of want to take it in that direction, and so we can help people in the masses. And really, one thing I've noticed is that, especially with the elderly patients who have so many different issues they're dealing with, they're more likely to try CBD once they find out, you know, there's not the psychoactive factor with it or anything. You know, they're more open to hearing about it. You know, the elderly can be a little stubborn.
Oh no, I don't know what you're talking about. Not at all. Now, to be fair, we should let everyone know, I don't want to say you're Martha Stewart, but you are certainly, this is the beginning of your big dream. And this is part of it. But the other part is you've got a lot of things to say, don't you?
Yes.
You do. And there's the other part of this whole process is going to be more of a lifestyle website that has more about blogging and things about that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. So I am in the middle of developing another website. It's going to be called She Decided. And basically it's She Decided to Live the Life She Imagines. So this is the journey of someone like myself, you know, a young single mom with school and work and, you know, raising a child and everything else and spirituality and just everything we go through. And yeah, it's going to be a lifestyle about yoga and cannabis and basically journaling my journey with the cannabis industry and yoga and spirituality. And
that's encouraging because there's a lot of people who maybe are kind of lost in life. They don't really know the direction they're going. And you might be able to help them kind of find their way. You might be able to give them the inspiration that they need to do what you've done. You've thrown all caution to the wind. You're doing this business. You're doing this life. What's the website will be called? What again?
She Decided.
She Decided to Live the Life that she always imagined. Yeah. And now you're doing that.
Yeah. I am. And it's a journey. And that's the biggest thing for me is, you know, you see so many people with the end story of the success and they tell you about their challenges. And I kind of want people to experience the whole journey with me. It's trying new things. It's finding out your purpose, your meaning in life, what makes you happy. And I love helping people. I love inspiring people. But I also have such a background in, you know, healthcare that I want to help people in that area, too. It's giving me the opportunity to integrate everything that I love and kind of bundle it up into one. And I think my goal and my purpose is just to really help people on, you know, a healing level and a spiritual healing level as well.
Can I say something? Do you mind if I say something? When you first walked into the studio and we started talking, I said, so what do you want to do? And you're like, I want to help people. That was the very first thing you said, just flat out. And everything that you've done up to this point really hasn't been that focus of wanting to help people. And now it seems like you've got everything has come together and this is what you want to do is help people.
Your background is in pharmaceuticals. And you talked about that during the second segment. And so now, and you talked about some of the negative things about pharmaceuticals. Did that help in your transition where you are today and where you're headed?
Absolutely. Actually, it's funny, if I could tell you the amount of years I spent being against pharmaceuticals as I was selling pharmaceuticals, you know, and if anyone asked me my honest opinion, I would give it to him. I think it's awful. We're like brainwashing people or, you know, I get that there's certain, you know, heart medications you need or there's certain things out there. But I think for the mass of it, a lot of these prescriptions available are doing more harm than they are good. And so it was very conflicting to be in an industry where you have the complete opposite views of what they're doing. I feel like I've had that aha moment and I'm just so driven and so excited and passionate about where I'm heading. So,
and isn't it awesome that you're excited and passionate about something you can actually get behind and be excited and passionate about? You're not having to play the lie. You don't have to live the game where you're selling it, but you don't believe in it. This is something you believe in and you're following your heart with it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Sarah Barber from Cannabon Therapeutics. Thank you for coming on. We're going to hear a lot more from you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
It's been amazing having Sarah on the show. I've known Sarah for quite some time, was very impressed with who she is as an individual, a young woman, so positive, so energetic, very extremely motivated. I took a look at her company, Cannabon Therapeutics. Amazing. Great things to come for Sarah, no doubt. And she'll be appearing on the show on a regular basis throughout the rest of this year, next year, to give the listeners updates on some of the great products out there.
Speaking of the show, show's over.
Show's over?
Show's over.
What are you talking about?
I know.
I blinked and it's over.
Yeah, that's the way
Craig,
it works.
Craig, I only get you 1 hour a week. I'm listening to you every day. I'm going to get a court order to have visitation. We can have 50-50 visitation to hang out with each other. But if I order food from a restaurant and if I offer to buy you some, don't be chomping on my food. Okay, I complain about that during the first segment that somebody took such a chomp out of my sub. It's like, give me a break. If I give you a taste, take a small, tiny taste, not a third of my sub.
No, back up. If you offer to buy me lunch, I'm letting you buy me lunch.
Okay, that's but if you say no and then you say, hey, can I taste your sub? It's not happening because people take too much.
Speaking of, you know, Sarah's talking about her aha moment. I just had one. Do you realize something? You always say I'm on 5 days a week, including Saturday, which is six.
6 days a week.
But technically, I'm also on Sunday on this show. Oh. I'm on 7 days a week, baby.
Hey.
King of all something.
How about Todd's Rock Block on one of the sister stations? You think that'll happen someday? Todd's Rock Block. The listeners love the music I play on the show. I picked the music. Paul Weller, the jam just rocked it and socked it, turned it and burned it. I want to just destroy it out there. I mean, Black Diamond Group stations destroyed already. They don't need me. I'm just saying, when I was a kid, I wanted to have my own rock show. I'm on the radio. I mean, I'm still living the dream, but I just want to rock. If I could just play an hour of music and not talk, that won't happen. I would talk anyhow.
You know, you talked yourself in a circle there, and you already answered the question before I could even answer.
I know. Hey, we have a great show. We have to go.
Yep.
We want to just send all our thoughts and prayers out there to everybody down south, Texas, all the way to the Panhandle, down to the Keys, and into the Caribbean.
Yeah.
We wish everybody the best, and be safe. Be safe.
Please do.
Please do. We'll see you this time next week. Same place, same time. We gotta go. I'm not just a litigator. Craig Russell, take us out. I'm an advocator.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, and Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.